Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Our reading from Matthew's Gospel text this morning marks the ending of this series of readings we've been working our way through these last several weeks, this mission discourse. We have studied together what it means to follow Jesus, to step into giving care, to forgiving one another, and to encountering the world with great compassion and love. And the ultimate cost of that calling to discipleship. And this morning we are introduced to a new word, though not a new concept, I hope, welcome. Just a couple of weeks ago, as we remembered our commitment to be a reconciling in Christ congregation and prepared to participate in Bloomington's Pride celebration, we talked a little about what welcome can look like. We talked about how when you have someone over to your house for supper, you don't just have the frozen pizza on the cheap plastic plates that you usually have on a regular Tuesday. No, you clean up the house. You make a little something special. And instead of sitting at the kitchen counter or on the couch in front of the TV, you sit down, you invite them to join you at your dining room table, set with the nice dishes and a nice prepared meal. This is what a proper welcome can look like. Jesus' words about welcome that we read this morning get a little more specific, both in how they describe who is to be welcomed, but also how that welcome can take shape. After having shown the disciples and us what it looks like to move through the world with great caring and compassion, seeking healing and restoration of right relationship for all, Jesus lays out explicitly what his followers are called and equipped to do, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to touch the untouchable, to drive out the devil and all evil, all the while proclaiming the good news of the nearness of God and God's kingdom. And a stern reminder to give as freely as God has given to you. Jesus then gets specific with his disciples about the cost of living this life of radical humility, of radical generosity, and of radical love by explaining just how a reprioritized life might upset the normalcy we crave. Families may split. Scorn and hatred may be cast in our general direction. Your life may not resemble the picture of success that you had in mind before you encountered Jesus. But you are called to take up your cross and to follow Jesus just the same. The cost be damned. After all of that talk about cost, Jesus, in our reading today, digs into even more specificity about what he means. Simply put, he talks about welcome. It all seems pretty simple and straightforward, but do we know what he's talking about here? Do we know what he means by welcome? Who are the prophets? Who are the righteous? Who are these little ones that Jesus is talking about? And how do we welcome them? Well, let's talk about it, shall we? So in our reading, Jesus says to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." The Apostle Paul writes in our reading from Romans today about what it means to be a slave to sin versus a slave to righteousness, and how we view ourselves and find our sense of identity, whether it is tied to our sinfulness or tied to the gift of God's righteousness given to us. And then how that identity is put forth out into the world. So when Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes me, whoever welcomes you welcomes me," Jesus is talking about that identity. You are walking out into the world not just as you, but as me, as Jesus. And whoever welcomes you welcomes the person who sent you, just as whoever welcomes Christ welcomes God the Father. Right? But then he starts getting a little more specific. It's not just about whoever welcomes you now. Now you are the one called to do the welcoming. The disciples have work to do. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. He is talking about who welcomes the disciples, but he's also talking about what is our calling, what is our role. What does it mean to welcome the righteous? Well, first of all, who's a righteous person? Anybody want to raise their hand? Who is a righteous person? A person who seeks justice. A person who does maybe better than we do. Someone we might look up to, someone we might honor, but someone who not only seeks justice in this world through their life and their actions, but also calls you into seeking that justice as well. That maybe is humble about just how good and righteous they are, but in that humility also casts a knowing eye on you, saying, "What are you doing? How are you exercising your righteousness?" Before Jesus gets to the righteousness, we got to step back though. He says, "Whoever welcomes a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." Who's a prophet? Anybody in the mood to welcome a prophet? I don't see any hands going up, not one, right? Prophets are not easy characters to sit with. Prophets are not easy people to hear, because prophets come into the communities that they love, speaking hard truths, holding up a mirror to that community saying, "Listen, you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing. And you'd better fix it, and fix it now." Prophets have hard truths to share with us. I don't know about you, but I count amongst the closest of those people to me in my life, those people whom I know love and care for me deeply, but also who are not afraid to tell me what I look like to my face, to be honest with me when I make a misstep, to ask me the questions I'd really rather not ask myself. Those friends, those colleagues, those loved ones that are closest to us, who have the purchase, right, who have the quality, that love, that they can come to you and ask those hard questions, to speak those hard truths, are incredibly valuable. Do you have friends or people in your lives like that who call you on your stuff? You can raise your hand for that one. I do, right? You've met a couple of them. They come here every once in a while. A couple of them even work here, right? It's a powerful thing to welcome a prophet, someone who is coming bearing hard truths. It is a powerful thing to welcome the righteous, someone who is showing us how to live in a righteous way, even if that, you know, reflects a little bit poorly on us sometimes. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these, like, right, little ones, one of these little ones, in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Who are these little ones? Well, we can think of little ones, right? Children. That's an obvious one. Jesus talks often in Matthew about the qualities of little children. But how do we offer even a cold cup of water? That doesn't seem like a huge gesture. Although someone in Bible study pointed out, these people are living in the desert. There's no refrigeration. There's hardly any ice to come by. A cup of cold water takes some effort. You got to go to the well and get that water up and get it fresh to the hands of that little one. It takes some intention. It takes some work. It takes some generosity. But even something so simple as offering a cup of water to the littlest of these is a great welcome indeed. Jesus, though, is not only speaking of children when Jesus speaks of the little ones. Jesus is also speaking of those who have been put out, who have been pushed aside, those who are on the margins, those who are of the most need. And reminds us that, yes, if you are going to welcome them, it means giving something that they need. Even something as small as a cool cup of water. If we are to be about the business of welcoming the prophet, the righteous, and the littlest among us, if it is in that welcoming that our reward truly rests, then this also means that we are called to reckon with uncomfortable truths about ourselves, about our actions. If we are to be about the business of welcoming the righteous, then this means also stepping in solidarity with them as they seek to do justice through their living in this world. This also means reckoning with our own complicity in all things that are not just in this world, and then doing something about it. If we are to be about the business of welcoming the little ones, of even doing something so simple as giving them that cool drink of water, then we must also reckon with the ways in which our lives and our actions and our structures and our inaction has directly affected those who are on the margins. It also means that we have to be willing to have that cold cup of water at the ready and to be willing to part with it willingly and immediately whenever we are confronted with even the hint of need. If we are to reckon so honestly with ourselves, if we are ready to act in the face of that reckoning, if we are ready to give the welcome that stands as even the smallest hint of a reflection of the gift we ourselves have received, are receiving, and will receive from our God, then we will find ourselves truly ready to welcome, and in welcoming, receive a reward. We began this season that we're in currently by celebrating the day of Pentecost. That holy moment when God sent the Holy Spirit down upon those 12 disciples so that they, well, 11, those disciples so that they might be understood in a new way by all who were within earshot of them that day. That holy moment of welcome where tongues and ears were opened in a new way, when God's power was truly democratized. But with that power comes incredible responsibility. And this power and responsibility is something we all share with those original followers of Jesus. So today let us be filled with the blessings of God, yes? Let us be overflowing with gratitude for those very blessings. And let us welcome the prophets, the righteous, and the little ones among us, just as we have been welcomed into the power, responsibility, and unflagging and unfathomable love of our God. Amen. Let us sing our hymn of the day, Rock of Ages.